Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I am your host, Junkyard James, and with me, as always, for the Thursday live stream is the man, the myth, the legend, Cody Marinara. How are you doing this wonderful Thursday after AEW Blood and Guts?
Tired. Absolutely tired. It was a long ride home last night, hour and a half back home. Luckily, it was a very, very quiet ride home. Nothing too crazy happened, but show was great. Crowd was really good. But yes, feeling the after effects. Getting a little old for this. may have to make sure that the shows we go to, they're closer than than Greensboro, but we're doing all right, man. How are you doing on this fine evening?
All I gotta say is I am happy that I was proactive and took the day off, because I woke up this morning and I don't know why, but the only thing I can relate to is, like, I woke up with the worst hangover of my entire life, but I didn't drink anything last night, so I don't understand. Pounding headache, but I'm happy that I didn't have to go into work today. But no, we'll talk a little bit more about Blood and Guts later on in this show, but I have the same sentiments as you. It was a really good show. I don't think it sold all the tickets. I'm sure you have some more info on that when we get to that segment, but for the crowd that we had, it felt pretty alive. Our section was loud. There was a man over there that was saying some pretty out of pocket things, to say the least. But it was a fun show. And we'll talk about our favorite parts of Blood and Guts here shortly. I gotta just do some housekeeping stuff real quick before we jump into some content. Like I announced last episode on last Thursday, this is our final episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast for the year of 2025. But it's not the last time you can see us this year. We have a confirmed date for our final appearance of the year, joining the guy over at the Slapping Meat Wrestling podcast. We will be doing the annual end of the year reaction show. He's calling it the Slappies this year, where the Slapping Meat community show and the Beyond the Junkyard podcast, we link up last show of the year and look forward to 2026 and recap the best of 2025. So make sure you go and check out the Slapping Meat community show, We Too Deep Entertainment, December 16th, 9 p.m. I believe that's a Tuesday, if I can recall. We'll be there doing some end of the year review stuff. Be sure to check that out. Any words on this show, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy doing the end of the year award type shows. I'm glad he's waiting to do this until the middle of December. I think last year he did it in late November, maybe even early December, which is, it's close enough to the end of the year. But listen, in pro wrestling, you never know. If you may have all your winners for the most part, but the way that I categorize, like, match of the year, promo of the year, that could literally, there could be a surprise winner at the very end that could just magically take it all. So, well, we're waiting until almost the end of the year. And it'll be 3 days before my birthday. So, that'd be a good way to, celebrate and, in my 20s with a bang. yeah, that'll be cool. A little over a month away. It's going to be fun. So definitely tune in for that. That'll be our final time that we'll be really all together, for the year 2025. So we take a little bit of a break. So I'm excited. I'm got to do a lot of research for that show. I got a month to prepare for it. So full gear may alter those plans, but yeah, we'll wait and see what happens. But yeah, looking forward to it.
Absolutely. This show for the a while now has been really we appreciate the partnership of a few partners, but specifically Dubby Energy. They gave us a discount code. So if you go to W.GG, use the code Beyond the Yard, they get 10% off of your order and help support the podcast. Their product, I think, tastes really good for what it is. It is a powder mix. You do mix it into water, or I mean, I guess you can mix it in any other beverage, but I don't know how that would taste, but mix it into some water. And I have the Japanese soda. I believe they're getting more flavors in stock. And so check out those flavors. Go to W.GG, use the code Beyond the Yard, help support the podcast. Maybe you have an energy drink fanatic in your friends or family list, and maybe you can give them some Dubby for the holidays, and see if this can become their most favorite energy drink. Yes, sir. I saw your hand.
I am that fanatic of energy drinks. So if anybody wants to get that for my birthday or Christmas, I'll gladly accept.
There you go. Use the link in the description. You can get him a Christmas or birthday gift, using our code. I did say, like I said, this is our final show of the, Beyond the Junkyard on this, channel. So I do want to make an announcement real quick before we jump into our actual stuff that, starting in 2026, I've been thinking about making a few changes to the content that gets shown on the Thursday live stream and the Saturday show. Nothing set in stone. I'll probably have some more communication with Cody on this to get everything set in stone. But the idea right now is the Thursday live stream starting in 2026 will be more interactive with the fans. Maybe more so like doing more interactive, like best of lists and things like that. And maybe not so much of the ranty kind of stuff every week. Trying to make it more interactive since it is a live stream and we do have a live audience and we are trying to keep their attention. And I know sometimes people don't like listening to us rant all the time. So we'll figure out the segments, and then the Saturday show will be, because it's pre-recorded and it's just me, and you can listen if you want to listen to me bloviate about how WWE sucks. You can do that, because I do that most every Saturday. So going forward, we'll have everything set in stone, and we're looking forward to 2026 and being one of our better years on this podcast. Which leads me to say, like, comment, subscribe, share this video, share this channel. We're going to be away for like a month or so. And so I know the algorithm doesn't like when people take these breaks. So we're going to need some help pushing it out. And in the meantime, I may be able to like share some like YouTube shorts of prior content and maybe keep some content on the channel. We'll see what happens with that. I believe, if I remember correctly, tell me if I'm wrong, this is the 20th anniversary to the day of Eddie Guerrero's unfortunate passing. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how we do a live stream of a pretty, I would say, unfortunate but a monumental anniversary of the late, great Eddie Guerrero's 20th year anniversary of his passing, November 13th, 2005. And I don't know if you, and apologies if kind of going a little bit off course here a little bit, but I don't know if you see the Players Tribune post and letter kind of that Rey Mysterio shared on social media today, that he wrote kind of in remembrance and paying his tributes to Eddie Guerrero. Really well done, really well written. compares a lot of Dominic to Eddie, and there's a lot of like he talks like how Dom's mustache is like hideous looking, and it's like playing off of Eddie Guerrero's mustache from the early 2000s, and he puts like no offense Eddie, and then it goes off of how Dominic has the mullet that Eddie kind of used to wear or have as a haircut back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And Ray called it hideous and was like, no offense, Eddie. And that part was pretty funny. But yeah, one of the best, one of the greatest of all time. I still, to this day, remember watching that Raw, the first televised show that WWE had after Eddie passed. Mm-hmm. And I think I cried like a baby for 3 hours straight. Maybe it was just a 2 hour show. I'm not sure. But, that was a really tough watch. I remember my mom, she had, I was not even 10. I was almost 10. And my mom came home from work one day or that Monday. And she was like, "Hey, I heard on the radio that some wrestler died." And my mom was not a wrestling fan at all. She really didn't like me watching it. Didn't really understand it. But yeah, she was like, "I heard on the radio some wrestler died, and he had like a brother or something." Me being still 10 years old, I was still dove into the kayfabe part of it. So I was like, "Oh God, did Undertaker or Kane die?" That's immediately where my brain went to. And she was like, "No." I'm like, "Matt or Jeff Hardy?" And then she was like, "No." And I'm like, "Bubba Ray or Devon?" She went, "No." I'm like, "I don't know who is it." And I went online, and I think I went on nodq.com and saw that it was Eddie Guerrero that passed away. And she obviously, because she's not a big fan, she didn't know that obviously Eddie and Chavo were uncle and nephew. But yeah, that's how I learned about it. And then watched that Raw show, and just absolutely tragic. It was sad. The tributes were awesome. It may be one of my more memorable, and I don't want to say favorite episodes of Raw, but just an absolute memorable show. SmackDown that week was too, but sad day for the industry. But I think they did the best job possible to pay tribute to, like I said, one of the best wrestlers of all time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's definitely, I would agree, one of the best in the business. Probably one of my favorites growing up as well. And hey, you were in the crowd the night he won that 2004 Royal Rumble. So,
according to ESPN, yes. Oh yeah. Yeah, I don't really remember it like that, but
alrighty,
yeah, absolutely.
Let's jump into the scheduled content with some ticket talk sponsored by our friends at StubHub. You got the floor, my friend.
Appreciate that, sir. Like you said, got to thank the sponsor for this segment, StubHub. If you guys are, of course, looking for tickets to the hottest events in town, StubHub has got you covered. You guys already know this. I've been spewing this for weeks on end. Whether it's a concert, sports game, that must-see Broadway show, wrestling shows like we went to last night, Blood and Guts in Greensboro, StubHub is your one-stop shop for live event tickets. With millions of listings, you can easily find the best seats at the best prices. Plus, with StubHub's 100% buyer guarantee, you can shop with confidence, knowing that your tickets are legit and they are ready for you to enjoy the experience. So why wait? Don't miss out on the action. Visit StubHub today and get your tickets to unforgettable moments. StubHub, the world's largest ticket marketplace. And you guys can, of course, use that link in the description for all your sports and live event ticketing needs. Obviously, whatever you guys use those links, it helps contribute to the podcast. So we definitely appreciate that. Appreciate StubHub for being an affiliate and a sponsor of TikTok. I don't have the most laid out in-depth ticket coveraging of a bunch of shows today. Kind of in a little bit of a lull when it comes to that. There's a couple for sure we're going to talk about, but I haven't seen the final count for Blood and Guts as of even this afternoon. I just chatted right before we went live. I still haven't seen a final count. Looking at the last update that came from WrestleTix about an hour and a half before the show, they are really close to the 5,000 mark. So I'm going to say that there was 5,000 at least 5,000 in attendance last night. Pretty much the lower level was pretty covered. If they didn't get the 5,400 plateau, even if they got right at it, I think it's still a little bit of a disappointing number. Yeah, the lower bowl was mostly filled, but for being basically a pay-per-view on live TV, on free TV, I know it's a Wednesday night, but yeah, I'm sure AEW wishes there was a little bit more in attendance for Blood and Guts. They've usually averaged between 7,000 and 9,000 people, I think, for Blood and Guts. So I'm not really sure what caused the little bit of a drop in the ticket sales for Blood and Guts.
I can think of one thing, the fact they weren't on Greensboro TV until the day of the show.
That could definitely be it. And I think, again, the marketing team has still got a lot of work ahead of them to be better. The ticket prices were not the problem. The quality of the show that they were going to put on, not a problem. Two Blood and Guts matches, the first ever women's Blood and Guts. I mean, yeah, it absolutely was a very good card. So it has to go with marketing, and that sucks because crowd in Greensboro was great all night, and it would have been better if they had a few more, hundreds or a couple more thousand people in attendance. But it is what it is. It was still a good crowd that was there, and it was, like I said, the lower bowl was mostly full, including off camera. But so a little bit over 5,000 for Blood and Guts. Next one we're gonna talk about is Full Gear happening 9 days from tonight, Prudential Center, New York, New Jersey. As of yesterday, they had sold 7,763 tickets with 1,165 available, with the current setup being 8,928. Last year, they're in the same venue for Full Gear at The Rock, Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. They drew 10,639, so they've got 2,876 tickets to go to match that, which equals out about 319 per day. Right now, the cheapest ticket available is $40. AEW typically does strong ticket sales the week of the show, the pay-per-view. They could very well get to the 10,000 mark. They may get a shy underneath it. It just really depends on how good the last week of ticket sales, and maybe even the walk-up, looks like day of the show, a couple days before the show. So hoping for at least 10,000. We'll see what happens in the next 9 days. Next one we're going to hit on is SmackDown that has taken place tomorrow night, November 14th, at the MVP Arena. No, not Montel Vontavious Porter. The MVP Arena in Albany, New York. As of 2:30 today, they had sold 8,122 tickets with 727 still available. Current setup being 8,849. The last time that they had a TV there was SmackDown back in May 31st of 2024. So about a year and a half since the last time they've been in Albany for a TV taping. And they only drew 7,747. So they're already plus 375 as of today. That's only going to go up. So outselling the last time they were in Albany. And I think partially that, even though the product is not very good, my opinion, is the fact they haven't been there in a year and a half. When you're not there for so long, typically that's a good thing. People have the want, the desire to go. So good on them. The cheapest ticket's $48.45, which actually that's a pretty good price for a WWE live event, especially a SmackDown right now. Tickets just went on sale today. It was a pre-sale for the SmackDown in Charlotte happening February 6th of 2026. And the cheapest ticket was $73. And that's in the upper deck. So it's crazy how the pricing has fluctuated for sure. But the last thing I will mention tonight is WWE announced that they are returning to the United Center in Chicago. This will be for Elimination Chamber next year, happening on February the 28th of 2026. And WWE has put in the press releases that they're going to the largest arena in the United States, which is a fabrication. That is a lie. Unless they have redone, revamped enhanced, expanded United Center. The Greensboro Coliseum is the largest arena in the United States. I think they both can hold up to 23,500, but Greensboro is set up for more from different aspects, ice hockey, concerts, basketball, things like that. So whatever. Just thought that was interesting. But I think that WWE did that because of the fact that AEW was in Greensboro last night, and that is the biggest claim that Greensboro is the biggest arena in the United States, and it is. But anyways, this will be the first PLE for WWE being held at the United Center in Chicago since SummerSlam 1994. So 21 years later, they come back to, or well, almost 22 years later, they'll be coming back to the United Center to do a PLE. And funny enough, that SummerSlam show, that was the first ever show held inside of United Center. So that was pretty cool. The last time WWE had any sort of event at this arena was a house show back in 2018. And this was a house show. This was like the Road to WrestleMania house shows. So this was the one right before WrestleMania 34. You want to know who was on that house card or house show card?
John Cena and Bray Wyatt.
John Cena was on the card. I don't know the entire match list. I just saw the two main ones. John Cena versus Roman Reigns was on match on that house show card. And Brock Lesnar versus Kane was on that card. Brock Lesnar doing a house show in general was crazy to me, but I thought that was interesting. But tickets go on sale next Thursday, November the 20th at 10 a.m. Central, so 11 Eastern. Pre-sale happens the day before, November 19th on a Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 Eastern. You know, I don't really know what the holdup was for why WWE didn't really use United Center very much from 95 to 2017 and even now. I know that WCW used that venue a lot because of the relationship that Bischoff and WCW had with Dennis Rodman, obviously played for the Bulls in that time. So Bulls played at United Center. So I think naturally that correlation was there and allowed WCW to use United Center a lot. And I think WWE was good with using the Rosemont Horizon. I believe that's now called the Allstate Arena. Good size venue too. Like the other, there's like three big arenas in Chicago with the Sears Center, the Now Arena, United Center, and the Allstate Arena. So they got three really good venues in that area. But I think WWE just had a history with the Rosemont Horizon, Allstate Arena, and they just started to use that. And I didn't see a need to go back to United Center until now. Obviously, wherever Punk goes, the company goes to United Center. First, it was UFC. And then AEW, now WWE. So interesting. But yeah, so that'll be interesting to see how the, I'm sure this event will sell out pretty quickly. Raw in Boston was a complete sellout, big crowd. Seen his last time in Boston. Obviously, his last match in DC in a month from today will be sellout, packed crowd. So some cool things happening, but that's. That's all I got for TikTok, my friend.
Sounds good. Looks like, WWE. I saw a post earlier today saying that eventually WWE is going to be like the country club of pro wrestling, where only the rich have access. We'll see how that turns out. I mean, it seems like they're willing to drop their prices as they get closer to the show to fill out the arena. So. We'll see how some of that goes into the end of the year and into next year. All right, let's move on to our mid-card meltdown, sponsored by RSS.com. For those who know, RSS.com is where we is our RSS feed that we upload this show to Apple and Spotify. If you use the link in our description, you yourself can have your own mid-card meltdown and upload it for everyone to hear. So go ahead and use that link in the description for RSS.com choose what subscription you want to use, whether it's just a individual or personal account. You only want one podcast, or maybe you're a new business who wants to have multiple different podcasts. They have a subscription plan for you. They do the distribution for you. They can set all of the ad reads for you automatically. They partner with other companies to help you get sponsorship opportunities. So check it out at rss.com using the link in our description. For the last time this year, my friend, is there anything? Now, it doesn't have to be like me last week. It doesn't have to be in the wrestling vicinity. Maybe it's the fact that the Florida Panthers are beating the ever-living hell out of the Washington Capitals right now. But is there anything over the past week or so in wrestling or outside of wrestling that has just grinded your gears and just made you need to have a minute to melt down? This is your space.
I hate sports. Hate it with a passion. I hate the years where all your teams are just fudge and garbage. Clemson football has not done very well for me this year. The Capitals have been absolutely a disaster right now. And let's not even talk about the Washington Commanders. The only positive news to come out in the last week besides Clemson basketball being 3-0 and beating Florida State in football last Saturday was the Commanders hired their architect designed for the new stadium in D.C. It's the same people who did AT&T Stadium, Globe Life Field. Let's see, who else? SoFi Stadium. So some pretty cool venues. So we'll see how they do with this one. Can't wait for that to get built, and can't wait to see the renderings of it. And that might be the only good thing we can talk about until next season, because there's nothing good to talk about. I feel bad for anybody who flew over to Spain to watch this damn team play. Y'all need to get drunk as hell. Yeah, drink a lot of sangrias on Sunday and then sip it off the next day. But I do have a little bit of a gripe when it comes to the wrestling side of things. I talked a little bit about it with the whole attendance for last night. I'm just frustrated with the fact that it was a great show. It really was. And to have hopefully right at 5,400, if not more, just kind of grinds my gears a little bit. Marketing team, man, we've said this for 2, maybe 3 years now. You got to step your game up, man. Yeah. Put some of that stuff in the marketing budget for your shows. Anyways, the biggest thing I was going to talk about is because you had asked me last night before the show what I thought about Cena winning the Intercontinental title. And I said I was going to save that for tonight. Happy for Cena. I think it's cool. Grand Slam champion, well-earned, deserves it. Kudos to him. The booking for it, god-awful.
Mm-hmm.
This man had been in WWE for 23 years. 23 years. And we wait until a month before he retires, 4 weeks before he retires to figure out, 28 days before he retires. I think now's a good time for him to win the Intercontinental title. Won the U.S. title in, what, 2015? We could have just gave him the Intercontinental title. Wasn't like he needed the U.S. title in 2015 because he had won the U.S. title in 2004. I honestly thought it was shotgun booking. I really do. I'm fine if the goal was to see it, for Cena to win this, get that big pop, and then lose it to an up-and-coming talent to pass the torch. I'm fine if that's where the storyline's going to go. But this should have happened at sometime in September. You know, I mean, hell, he didn't even really need to win the 17 title, that whole thing. Let's not talk about that. But I just I cannot believe that we waited 28 days before this man retires for him to finally win the Intercontinental title. Happened in his hometown. So whenever the next time somebody wins a world title in their hometown, and I've already kind of explained how I think Ospreay's going to win the world title, the AEW world title, all in London next year. MJF may win a belt in his hometown in Long Island. Or Harley Cameron may win a title in Australia or whatever. I think that it all sets somewhat precedent. Cena winning the Intercontinental title in Boston, I don't care about that. That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's great. I'm literally happy for the fact he's a Grand Slam champion. The way we got there is just asinine to me. It's a slap in the face. It's a slap in the face, right, more so to Dominic than anybody. Right. It makes the fans, to me, it makes us feel stupid. And I promise you they're gonna run with this, that this is the greatest retirement tour of all time because Cena won the world title. He's won the Intercontinental title in the same year. And for those that are like, well, hey, Singh won the AEW World Tag Team titles a month and a half before he retired. Fair argument. It is. But Sting was primarily a tag team wrestler in AEW with Darby. He wrestled very little singles matches. Mm-hmm. Him and Darby had like 20 matches in a row. They finished undefeated as a tag team. So it set precedent that it kind of makes sense that they won the tag team titles. Could they and should they have won it sooner? Yeah, I would agree with that. But the aspect of waiting so damn long for him to finally win the Intercontinental title, I don't get it. I really don't. And he's only going to hold it for a month tops. And whatever happens, happens. It's just, I don't know. It's just weird.
So my biggest issue with, and I kind of agree with Jason here, this entire run, they have, and I said this when Cena turned heel, that this could legitimately ruin his legacy in the business. This entire retirement tour, like, I don't know. Like, it just gives me a bad taste about how John Cena's going out. And there has been rumblings that I have seen, and I don't know how true they are. You like, John Cena has a partnership with Turner by doing some TV shows and stuff with on TBS. That there is a possibility John Cena shows up in AEW at some point just to have, like, a proper send-off match. There are some rumblings there that, like I think it was, I don't want to misquote this. I'm pretty sure it was Meltzer or Alvarez that said that they have heard, like, there is a possibility Cena shows up to have a proper send off because they've seen how AEW did Sting. They've seen some of this stuff. I feel like they dropped the ball on Cena and his retirement. I don't think his retirement tour, like, it obviously made sense that Cena would beat Ric Flair's championship record. That's totally fine. If anything, if they wanted to go with this route, why wouldn't they give John Cena the IC belt as his heel turn and then have this shocker 1 month before the end be for the world belt so that he can end by beating Ric Flair's record and not end by ruining a really great IC championship run? Because Dominic Mysterio, like, Gunther dropped the belt to Sami Zayn, and then that IC belt went into hibernation for a while. And Dominic Mysterio, from what I understand, had a really good IC championship run. And now we're going to give it to Cena for, what, a couple weeks for some NXT guy to get called up and immediately take the belt? I don't know if you have been aware. Cena announced on Monday that his final show, that Saturday night's main event, is now going to be a WWE versus NXT showdown. So all the matches will be WWE versus NXT. So somebody, for the most part, from NXT is going to fight John Cena. My assumption is it's going to be Javon Evans or and probably has to be a heel, so I would think like Oba Femi or something like that. Or maybe they pull one out of the hat and Gunther shows up and and he fights Gunther. I don't know where that goes, but it's seeming like it's going to be for the IC belt. And it makes no sense to have the IC belt just play hot potato for a month just to get John Cena, something that he could have gotten years ago.
Yeah, and to kind of finish on my point before I let you get to yours, I really hope, and maybe I know this is our last show together, but for this year, and maybe if anything really crazy happens, we'll mention on the Slappies next month. But could you imagine if when Saturday night's main event happens a month from today, John Cena opens the show and doesn't close it?
I mean, I could see it. I could see that being the case.
I don't think there's any way possible that they would do that. I'm hoping. Maybe I'm giving them way too much credit, but if they do that, you want to talk about a mid-card meltdown, son? That will be a 2-hour meltdown.
You're going to have I'll get an instant message immediately after it happens, and we will have
emergency
to have
pod.
We will have to have an impromptu Saturday night podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be an absolute slap in the face to people who bought tickets for that show, to the entire, I would say, retirement tour. You're going to build it up for him to have the first match on the card, not let him be the main event. It's John F. and Cena. Not only has he does he deserve, the bitch earned the main event spot of any show, but let's not hope it gets there. But yeah, I just... like I said, this whole tour has kind of just left a really weird taste in the mouths of me, at least, and maybe you. But yeah, it's we got 4 more weeks, and let's just hope that it ends on hopefully the best note possible.
Could you? So I can't remember who's. I think it's Solo Sikoa. He's in that tournament, and he's fighting the mystery opponent, I believe. He put on social media the other day that whoever he's fighting needs to, quote, just bring it. Is this just a way for Rock to get the final match with Cena? I mean,
for the Intercontinental title?
For the Intercontinental title?
I hope not. And I'll be honest with you, I feel like if that's the case, and they could have booked a little bit bigger of a venue in general, but yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think so. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Cena has said, or they made this tournament to be like anybody could come in, even people who aren't on WWE's roster, which either could be indie wrestler, could be somebody from TNA, I don't know. But do we think it's a possibility that that's the mystery opponent?
I've learned with WWE not to expect anything when they say we have a mystery opponent. It's usually like Hornswoggle or something like that. So we'll see, I guess. I'm not going to watch SmackDown on Friday. You can watch your favorite college football team play football on this Friday night, by the way, and they play on 7 o'clock Friday night. yeah, I'm not a big fan with Cena's run, which leaves me scared on how bad they're going to butcher AJ Styles' final run. So we'll see how that runs.
Yeah, I'm petrified from that now.
Alrighty. Well, here's my mid-card meltdown. And it kind of bleeds into our next segment, so this is maybe a good segue. All day on social media, I have been seeing posts. If you want to know if AEW had a really good show, wait till the show is over, and you'll see like a pack of cockroaches. The WWE elitists, or whatever they want to call themselves, the people that think AEW sucks, and they probably don't even watch the show, they're just there to complain, go out and they say the same exact thing for hours. For hours. And today's problem was there was too much blood. It was this was not a family-friendly show. Like, have y'all not seen past Blood and Guts? Last year, Darby Allin almost set Jack Perry on fire with a flame torch. A flamethrower. There's been years, like, I was fully expecting Mark Briscoe to pull a Mick Foley and jump off the top of that cage last night. It annoys me. Because there is a 99.9% chance that these people that are complaining, they don't even watch the product. They don't even watch the show. And they're going to sit here, and they know how to aggregate content. And the one thing that I hate about social media is you get these like when I post something, I don't monetize my stuff. So I'm not cringy just to be cringy. Like when I make a post, like there's some intention behind why I'm posting what I'm posting. I don't make money off of my social media, but these people do. And they post these things knowing it's going to get them attention. I hate this rhetoric. Here's the deal. If you don't like the damn product, you don't have to watch it. And we're not expecting you to like it, but we're going to call out bullshit when you call out bullshit. We're going to, like, I've seen people say, well, AEW fans had their fun last night with Blood and Guts. Friday night is, it's time for real graps. Talking about Jey Uso versus The Miz and the Last Time Is Now tournament, as if that's going to be a 45-minute segment with 35 minutes full of yeeting. I don't get it. Like, if you hate something so much, you know AEW had a good show when the people that don't watch and the people that hate on it are hating on it even harder. And so that's how I judge the show. I think it was a massive success because it exposed some people for making some really dumb takes about the show. Stuff like AEW fans love shitty matches when blood's involved, as if last year at War Games, the entire Samoan team was out for the next 6 months because like three of them got injured for long periods of time. One of them broke his foot. We're going to see the same thing with War Games just in a few months. And these same people are going to be the ones applauding War Games. It's the same match, just a different name and a little bit dumbed down a little bit. But you're still going to get your bloody wrestlers in your spots. And you, instead of glass and thumbtacks, you might get like Legos and I don't know, Pop Rocks or something. I don't know. It just annoys me because one, I don't have the time or the desire to go on social media and shit talk of something I don't like. That's exhausting. That takes a lot of time to make a post about something you don't like. Like half the time, I don't have time to post on social media about stuff that I do like. Nonetheless, the stuff that I don't like. So no, that just grinded my gears this morning, just waking up, seeing just post after post after post of people just shit-talking a product that they were never going to like in the first place. So, yeah. Breaking news, by the way, I'm scrolling social media as it is now. WWE has officially signed Joe Hendry to a WWE contract.
I mean, I think he was already under one anyways, but I understand that he was a TNA person, but still. I think we all pretty much know that.
He's John Cena's last opponent, maybe. Just kidding.
Boy, that'd be something.
Alrighty. Let's go on to talk about Blood and Guts. We were in attendance last night. So overall, the experience from your perspective, how did you like the show before we get into some of the finer details?
I thought it was good. I thought it was a good show. I saw a lot of wrestling. I think the women's match was like 46 minutes long. The men's match was 51 minutes. The Hangman Page with Hobbs match was about 15 minutes. So a lot of wrestling. But very, very good. I thought that the women's match actually was a little bit better from a overall match perspective. I'll tell you what, whoever bought tables or brought out tables for the AEW people to go through either need to be fired or they need to reassess how the tables are done, because boy, the tables were no selling all night. That was wild. But I enjoyed the show top to bottom. I thought it was very good. I mean, they had some good stuff in the middle to kind of give us a little bit of a break of the two Blood and Guts matches. But I really liked the show top to bottom. And the crowd was involved start to finish. I mean, it wasn't like the crowd got tired after the first one and really sucked for Hangman and then kind of lulled for the men's and then got brought back up. No, I mean, they were good all night long. The Hangman Page match was really good. Got into the crowd. Taking a bump off the stands was pretty crazy. But I thought it was really, really, really good. I thought it was a good show top to bottom. I don't know if this is so much really breaking news, but on Ring of Honor tonight, they had the QTV segment. Mm-hmm. And Harley Cameron said she's going to beat the shit out of Athena. So next week on ROH TV, it's going to be Athena versus Harley Cameron for the ROH Women's Championship. Yeah, that's my thoughts.
I thought the show was great from top to bottom. It's what AEW does best with their pay-per-views, is they give us straight wrestling with no fluff in between. They did a couple backstage segments to kind of give the ring crew time to clean up after some of the segments there. And I thought the show flowed really well. I did have a few minor complaints that I'll get to later on in this segment, but I thought overall the show delivered exactly what Blood and Guts is supposed to deliver. It wasn't something like they weren't off Blood and Guts. We got a lot of blood and a lot of guts. This show made two new stars maybe tonight in AEW. Sky Blue and Kyle O'Reilly kind of had their breakout moment. So I thought it was a great show. I think you kind of hinted at it. I'm assuming we're probably going to have the same answer. The women's match was the best part of the show.
Yeah. I thought that they, not only did they steal the show, but I think that they had the best overall match and the best, the best just segment on the show. I thought top to bottom it was very entertaining and kept the crowd was really into it top to start to finish.
I don't know if the women were offended that they had to start the show instead of main eventing Dynamite. I thought they probably should have main evented last night and had the men go first, but they just all of the women did stuff really well. Mercedes Moné said afterwards she's done with Blood and Guts matches. I don't know why she was part of this match in the first place. I guess it's storyline with Statlander and then try to progress some stuff with that. I don't think she really had any business being part of this isn't her style of wrestling. And so I don't really understand why she was part of it. The finish of the women's match, I know everybody kind of hated it. It seemed kind of anticlimactic, but it made sense. Tony Storm, said she basically gives up and quit. She surrendered so that Mina Shirakawa didn't take any more punishment. My biggest letdown of the match was there wasn't really a major surprise. There wasn't a new return. There wasn't a debut. No one kind of showed up on outside of Gabe Kidd, but I think we all kind of expected him to, or something to happen, shenanigans to happen for the Death Riders, but there wasn't like this big pop of a moment. And so that the women's match did really well, but there were a couple things that left me like wanting a little bit more. Obviously we were there in person and I think it was fun to watch it in person. The atmosphere was lively, but sometimes, at least to me, it felt like you kind of got lost trying to figure out where to focus your attention on because there was just so much stuff going on at one time. Whereas if you were watching the TV broadcast, they would be able to focus in on what exactly they want you to focus in on through the commentary and stuff. I haven't gone back to watch the show on commentary. I plan on doing it sometime this week just to kind of see what all they were mentioning on the show. Do you think these style of matches are better to watch in person or would it have been better to watch with a commentary team on TV?
It's tough to say, to be honest with you. I think it's easier to watch for sure on TV. You brought up a good point with that. And I was listening to Jeff Jarrett's podcast on Monday before Blood and Guts. But even he made the mention of you get two different viewing experiences from watching on TV versus being in person. Like you said, being in person, you've got this big silver object that's taking up some of your view, your peripheral of watching, but also a lot to focus on, a lot to go back and forth on. Whereas TV, you're just focused on what the camera's showing, and the camera's going to maybe cut back a couple times, but they're going to show you the most action-packed thing of what's going on, the most important things going on in the match, so you're really not missing anything, or at least missing anything really important or valuable. Whereas in person, if they're on top of the cage, I'm looking on top of the cage. Okay, I'm still looking in the ring. I got to look at the other ring. Is there anybody outside? Women's match, same thing. You know, oh, Marina and Statlander outside. Statlander and Mercedes are on the other side outside. Julia Hart and Tekla climbed out the sides of the cage. There's still action inside the ring. A lot going on. So it's just focusing more from an in-person viewing perspective. I think I may prefer TV just for the fact that I don't have to worry about my eyes going in 15 directions to follow any action. But it's cool to watch that in person. It's cool to be able to have that viewing experience and kind of see the spots as they happen, as they take place, and get a feel for what goes on throughout those kind of matches.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think it's fun to do it once, like to go to a Blood and Guts and watch those style of matches like once. Like maybe if you were on the floor and you had a closer viewing experience, it may have been a little bit better. But I think the TV, just because maybe this is just me, commentary leads me to understand more of what's going on. Because sometimes there's some spots that take place that you're like, I don't get why. Like Harley climbed halfway up the cage and then just went back down. Some of those things, I think commentary can give you a better understanding for that. You may not have that ability to watching it, but it is cool to see it at least once in person. But I'm especially with this style of wrestling, it's probably better with commentary on TV. And then the last part of Blood and Guts, if you were booking the show, what was there anything that you would have done differently?
With women's match or just in general?
Just in general.
I mean, I think I still would have preferred the women to go on last. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Darby spot at the end probably is that, and the Briscoe spot on top of the cage with Yuta. It's probably why they main evented, because they were just going to do a little bit more crazier stunts, which is understandable. I would have preferred at least an interference of some sort on the men's side. Is probably total bias, but I don't care. I feel Sting should have been in that moment. I understand that he was saved for the pay-per-view at Wrestle Dream, and it was a big deal, and it was like, okay, this makes sense. And it still would have made sense last night, but Darby was in dire straits, just went through a flaming table from the top of the one of the tunnels. That would have been just as perfect of a spot as any to be like, you know, I need to help out some way here. He didn't need to come down from the rafters or nothing like that. He could have been at the entryway. He could have been underneath the ring. He could have whatever, come through the crowd.
Right.
I feel like maybe he could have helped just a little bit in that situation, because Darby got taken out. But honestly, not. I really don't think there's anything else I would have changed. I mean, yeah. They had a few different segments happen to get us refreshed and to get our attention onto other things that were still happening and intrigued us to watch for next week. So I think it was pretty well done and pretty well produced start to finish.
Yeah, I agree with you on the swapping of the men's and the women's. And I think you could have done that Darby spot and started the show, and then throughout the show been able to tell a story of Darby in the back getting medical attention or something like that. I also think, like, I like the idea that Mark Briscoe gets beat up in the back. I would have preferred somebody take his spot rather than him come out, because honestly, it kind of was anticlimactic with the whole. And I get it with Mark Briscoe. He's not going. And maybe this would have been better for us to have that commentary there for them to tell us the story. But at least watching it live, it was like, all right, so they have this backstage segment. One, Renee's mic went out halfway through, if I remember correctly. And then Mark Briscoe comes up with a toolbox.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what's the point of having that backstage segment? To me, and I don't know if he's cleared or not, and probably not since he didn't show up, this would have been a perfect opportune time to re-debut someone like Adam Cole, and then you could have had this Adam Cole comes back. If the men would have started the show, you could have had a backstage segment with, like, the Conglomeration and Paragon and that internal struggle of both of those groups. I think that would have been a cool thing to have if they would have started the show. And then you could have had the women I don't know, because the women went first and the heels won. So it almost made it really super predictable that the faces were going to win the men's side. But either way, if the men would have gone first, it would have made the women's predictable. So that really wouldn't have changed anything. Overall, it was a good show. Like, these are micro things that I'm pointing out because they really did a good job with the show. I liked the whole segment with Samoa Joe coming down at the end of the Hangman match, setting up that steel cage match. Brodito making the save. The only change I would have made there, that would have been a great time for Cope and Christian to show up. Again, I don't know. I think Copeland's still doing some TV stuff, so he's probably not cleared to come back yet. Sean Ross Sapp said MJF is due to come back soon. So I don't know when he's coming back, probably at the pay-per-view, but an interference at some time.
That's what I think is what's leading to happen, is we're going to get some returns at the pay-per-view. Cope and Christian are probably going to be one. And I think because obviously, you know, FTR is fighting for the tag titles of Full Gear, that we still needed to build that match and make it more presentable and really give FTR some rubbing heat and Burrito to be more of a, even more better faces, get the crowd more behind them. And so it sets up their match better. And I think we get Cope and Christian after Full Gear, or at Full Gear. And I can definitely see MJF, especially with it being close to his hometown in New York, shows in New Jersey, so it's not too far away. I think that I think we'll see him appear after the Hangman Joe match, and he may cash in his or not cash in, but he may announce he's fighting Hangman Page at World's End a month early, and we get that immediate build for that match at World's End. We could be. Nothing could be just MJF coming out, beating up Hangman, and then we get more of that for the Dynamite next week. So, or the Wednesday after Full Gear. Yeah, I could see all three of those guys, Cope, Christian, and MJF returning. I could see just two. I could see just MJF. But yeah, I think we're definitely setting up to get some a return or returns at the pay-per-view for sure.
Alrighty, and we're going to end the show kind of on a fun note, just kind of fantasy booking a little bit. Like we said, this is our final show of the year, so we're going, and we'll do this again, and our answers may change at the Slappy show that we do in December. We typically kind of do something of the same, but as it stands currently, November 13th, 2025, are there... like this year of 2025, we've like Harley Cameron really like made her name in the business. And there's been other men and women that have really had a breakthrough year in 2025. Are there any wrestlers in 2026 that you maybe expect to have similar style breakout moments and put themselves in a better position in their career for 2026?
We're talking AEW, WWE, all the above.
In general, you could give me some like super local indie wrestler if you want.
I'm not that into it, yes. I think Megan Bain definitely takes that bigger step forward, and I think becomes a dominant heel. 2026 wins the world title. I can see Athena dethroning Mercedes. I can see. I can see Braun Breaker being a world champion next year in WWE for sure. Then maybe some of the obvious ones, but I think that those three people are really primed to take bigger steps. I think Fletcher has established himself as a main event guy. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll get into quite a world title scene yet next year, but I think he's well on his way for that. Just trying to think of kind of the others that I can really think of off the top of my head. I think Blake Monroe will make the jump to the main roster and fight Tiffany Stratton at some point for a belt, or she may fight somebody else for a belt, or Charlotte. I don't know. Trick Williams, I think, will make a big jump to the main roster and win a singles belt of some sort. I think those are really the biggest ones that jump off the board. Like I said, those are probably big name stars that people probably already expect, but I'm just looking at it from they're a big deal now, but just wait next year. They're going to be an even bigger deal type of thing. They're going to really establish themselves as stars of the industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, I look at 2026, and my list is probably going to be more AEW-centric because, to be completely honest, I don't know the dynamic of WWE enough to make some form of prediction. I would have said, like, Tatum Paxley, but it seems like she's already getting that push as she's now currently NXT Women's Champion. So it seems like they're going to end 2025 with her ascent to the top, and that's great for her. She deserves it. I will name one WWE person. I think what they have done with Roxanne Perez has been on the main roster has been almost criminal. And so I hope in 2026 she can make that jump. Hopefully Liv Morgan comes back. I think that's going to be the biggest feud is like Riv and I don't even know what's going on with that if they're settling that score yet. But I think Roxanne Perez could make that jump to be the top woman in the main roster scene. And if not, send her back down to NXT because she's one of their better talents. And she's so young and still has multiple years left with them. I'm also looking at, like, who can dethrone Athena? Like you said, Athena can dethrone Mercedes, and I think that's the picture. But who's dethroning Athena? I think this is Billy Starks' opportunity to finally take that ROH women's title from her. So I think we see Billy Starks run ROH a little bit. I don't know why, but when I was thinking about this question, the first name that came to my mind was Nick Wayne. Like, I think he's going to have a really good 2026. As a singles competitor, now that he's out of the storyline of Christian Cage and all of that. But also, Kyle Fletcher, you already mentioned, he's had spurts in the main event scene. I don't know if he'll fully make it there yet. I think 2026 is the year of Will Ospreay in AEW. But you'll see that women's division blossom a lot of talent, I think. Statlander had her year this year. I think we might see Willow win a singles championship at some point. Obviously, Megan Bain. And then can we finally put some belts on Bishop Khan and Toa Leona? Like, those guys have been so good for several years now, but just not good enough to get some belts. And they need they would run that trios division really well. I know you had Bishop Khan a couple of years ago as like your guy to look for, and they just haven't put anything. He is the ASE Pan African champion, I think is what it is. But yeah.
The what?
The ASE Wrestling Pan African World Champion. I think it's what the belt is called. It's an all-black wrestling promotion in Charlotte. I can't remember what the title is called, but ASE Wrestling. Pretty good roster of men and women that they have there.
I did not have that on my bingo card for him to win a belt for that. But, hey, kudos to him. I've been saying for maybe 2 years now that I think Bishop Khan is like a very underrated guy that needs to be pushed harder. And it'd be nice if they won the tag titles or if the man won the trios. That'd be great. But I think we'll definitely see some interesting things happen next year and some stars get introduced or cement their status as being a top player in the industry. And that's what makes wrestling great is every year is going to present new challenges and new things and different things and new stars and opportunities. And that's obviously what drives us to still be fans to this day.
Sorry, I was looking at this just to show you what I was saying here. Bishop Khan and Calvin Tankman, that is for Saturday, December 6th, ASC Wrestling in Charlotte for the Pan-African World Diaspora Championship. So now you know if you want to go to that. It's at a Piedmont Middle School in Charlotte if you want to go watch it.
It's a very long name for a world title, but all right. Hey, sounds interesting. Sounds very cool.
Yeah. Well, that's about all we had for this show. I know you were trying till the bitter end of the show starting to get a little bit of an additional segment on the show. It just didn't work out, but maybe 2026 we can get some of that stuff to show up and make it a little bit fun and kind of get more people on here and more interactive with the crowd. Make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe. Share this video. I'm gonna be honest. I'm pretty sure I forgot to upload the show last week to Apple Music. So I'll make sure to get all of that updated. We'll have one more show on Saturday. One final rant for the year of 2025. And that'll be it. And we'll see y'all at the beginning of 2026. But like we always do, I'll give it to my man for the final words.
Well, so this will be the final time you'll hear us on this show for me to say these words. Hopefully, I will be having the opportunity to say these words on the 16th of December for the Slappies. So I can at least have one more final say before the end of 2025 as a whole. But yeah, I hope everybody has enjoyed our content this year. I feel like this channel has grown pretty good year to year, and hopefully more the same for next year. We're going to keep grinding away and we'll do better things to, maybe not better, but we'll definitely do different topics and suggestions and things like that to enhance the show, enhance the channel. And I will do my best to make sure to do that as well. I will have an announcement to make at the Slappies. I'm gonna wait until then because there's some things that need to be handled first. But the Slappies will be a good time to announce that. Nothing as far as like content or anything like that. You already know it. Some of the other people, especially a person in the comment section, knows about it. Don't spoil anything, since you two know it, because certain people don't, and they will not know for another month. But they will know a month from today. And so the Slappies are 3 days after that, so I'll be able to truly announce that. But that'd be cool to do that. But anyways, until then, for this channel, for this show, not for the channel, you'll do yours on Saturday, but for this show, this will be the end for us in 2025. And I hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays, whatever you celebrate. I hope everybody enjoys it. I hope everybody, as we get into the cooler weather, you make your biggest pot of whatever you like. So that way, when you have the leftovers, you can just freeze it. And then when you're craving it, you can just bring it back out, reheat it, and you got more to share and spread the wealth. Holidays are all about sharing, because sharing is caring. So my suggestion to everybody is you get the most sauciest sauce you can think of. Add your flavors, add your spices, add your mixes. Get whatever you want to put it in and serve it on a big old nice plate. Share it with the family. Share it with your friends. And what you got to do today, tomorrow, this weekend, next weekend, the holiday season, into the new year, is to stay saucy, friends. And we will see you guys in 2026.
I got some breaking news before we go off air.
Oh, hey now.
Tonight on TNA, breaking news, Frankie Kazarian is the new TNA champion. Have a good night. We'll see y'all in 2026.
Stay saucy. Beyond.